Dean Thomas is on Fitz Nation.
I'm so excited.
Are you?
I'm so happy.
Well, you know, you were like, I've been trying to get on your show a lot.
Well, I have been.
Why, man? Is my show sought after?
To me, it is.
Nice.
Let me tell you. Like, I don't know how you view yourself, but, like, I look at you as, like, you know, big time.
No way.
Yeah, so I'm like, yo, how come I've never been on that show?
I look at you as big time. No, see, I don't. Because you're about to go with Dana White and do another Looking for a Fight episode.
Yeah, but right? I'm just, you know what I'm saying? I'm just kind of that dude that hangs out, right? You know, like, I show up and I hang out with them guys. Dana shows up with his entourage and then joins us for a couple of minutes and we film and have a good time. Then he leaves with his entourage and then we're back off in the Cinderella life, you know what I'm saying? So I just hang out with him.
Yeah.
But in terms of, like, our profession, like, you up there. So I'm like, y'all want to get on that show? And, like, you never asked me. And then when you asked me, I was like, yes.
Well, I hope this is the first of several times that you're on my show.
I hope
that?
So, too.
I hope that. Because what I want to do is I want to target talking about sobriety with you.
Okay.
If that's cool.
Absolutely.
Because I've seen, you know, sobriety is one of those things where it's not, like, plastered on everyone's forehead. And then when you find out somebody doesn't drink, it's the weird thing, right? Because, mm-hmm. like, 90% of people of age tend to drink alcohol. And then I saw like a tweet from you one time or whatever, and you're like, I don't drink, but I'll come hang out, something like that, you know? And I was just like, oh, Dean doesn't drink. And then I just asked you and you said, how long? 3 years.
Yeah. You know what? Like when you hear somebody else's sobriety, it's almost like a fraternity, like a brotherhood.
Mm-hmm.
Now you almost feel like you can trust them because you know how much discipline it takes to not drink. So like there's a connection that you have with other people
right.
that are also sober. So like when I hear somebody sober, I'm always like, I gravitate towards that person. I feel like a connection. I go, and I'm always thinking like, yo, if you ever need something, because I know if it ever gets hard, mm-hmm. you know, you let me know.
For you, was it drugs and alcohol or is it just alcohol?
No, it was just alcohol.
Yeah.
And I mean, it
3 years puts us back to the pandemic though. That's right. 2020.
Right.
So can you tell the story of like how it all unfolded for you?
Well, you know, it was a time, this was before the pandemic really. Just before, like a few months before it. And I just remember just drinking every day. And I never thought I had a problem. And I don't know if I had a problem. I guess that's what everybody says, right? I don't have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But I just remember drinking every day and for no reason. And then I started thinking to myself, like, why am I doing this? Like, what is going on with me? And then I realized that nothing good comes from it. Like, nothing good has ever come from me being drunk.
Mm-hmm.
Only bad stuff.
When did you notice, what made you notice, like, wait a second, I do this every day. This isn't normal.
Or yeah, I was in a bar. I was in a bar by myself drinking.
What time of day?
It was in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm by myself in a bar drinking in the afternoon. And this was like a span of like 2 weeks. And I had been doing this every day for like 2 weeks.
Going to the bar.
Going to the bar.
By yourself in the afternoon.
By myself in the afternoon, yeah. Just like, yeah, let me just get a little drink.
Yeah.
Get a little drink. And then I started to question, like, why am I drinking in the first place? And it all started from, you know how when you're young and you want to talk to a girl and you go, I just need to get a little alcohol in me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it starts. And
just
then
soften it up.
Yeah, let me get a little loose. And then I remember, you know, before I would go on stage to do something, I go, let me get a little something in me. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Get the juices flowing. And then I realized it became a crutch. Like then it, like whenever I needed to do something to be personable and likable, I felt like I needed to drink.
Yeah.
And I don't ever want to have that crutch. I don't ever want to feel that.
Yeah.
So, get out of here.
You know, I'm sober as well. And it was almost like accidental. Like it was never my goal. I was never like, I need to stop drinking. Something bad happened. But 2020, I had started tracking like how much I drank in 2018 and 2019,
mm-hmm.
like keeping track, like how many beers do I have in a year? And I was just like, whoa, that's more than I thought. You know, you're at like 300 something, you know, whatever. I'm just like, oh, that's like average is one
a
day.
How did you track that? Would you have like a Fitbit?
I had like a little thing on my phone and every time, boom, tallied it.
So it's
like,
did you really?
You know? Yeah. And so, 2018, I tracked all the beers I drank. Then I was just like, I need to drink less beer. So 2019, I started drinking more whiskey. And I'm just like, well, that's not the answer.
So did you stop drinking beer and move to whiskey because of the calories?
I was like, that's a benefit. I was like, I'll have one old fashioned, but I'll have three beers. Right?
I did that same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then so my wife, who wasn't even like, you need to stop drinking, but she was just like, what if you just didn't drink for a month? Don't drink for January. You know, sober January is like a thing, right? I was like, okay, I could do that. I was like, I only have one work trip, because sometimes on the work, on the road, like airports, and you're just waiting at lounges or whatever, that's when I would have more. Mm-hmm. Not like in a negative way for my job, but just like, you know, Thursday night, a couple nights before the show, you go out and you have a couple drinks at dinner or whatever. And so January 2020, I went sober and I was just like, this is pretty cool. I could keep doing this, you know? For you, like, how long did it take, like, when you stopped making it a part of your life and you're just like, oh, this works?
The transition for me was, how do I go from needing that crutch to be personable and likable to just doing that on my own?
Mm-hmm.
And I figured it out. And, like, it was kind of a weird transition period in my life, and it was actually during the pandemic. So it was easy to, like, not go out and drink. So it was easy for me to.
I go, thank God I stopped for that January of 2020, because otherwise I would have been bored and at home.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I spent a lot of time with myself and I did a lot of self-reflection. And so I realized that I'm enough. Like, just me being me is enough. And I know I got the goods, whether I'm drinking or I'm not. So I just had to have the confidence to be able to go out and just say, I'm enough.
Yeah.
And I don't need a crutch.
And then you get to a certain point where it's very refreshing. You feel almost free.
Yes.
You feel free?
Yes. I feel like totally free.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need nothing. I'm just, let's go.
Yeah. When I want to make a change in something, I'll try to institute the change and I'll read a book about it at the same time. So in that January 2020, I read two books about like why stopping drinking is good. Or, you know, people that went sober and wrote about it, mm-hmm. right? And then it's like, I'm noticing the changes myself and I'm reading about the other possible benefits. And I'm just like, yeah, that's it. That is a benefit. When I go on vacation now, I don't have to say it's going to be really fun after I have three or four margaritas. It'll just be fun from the start.
Right, exactly.
That's what I'm talking about. That's so, the freedom that you get,
and that's the freedom.
Right?
And to do what you're doing, to be able to read about that and follow other people's journey, mm-hmm. that has to be incredibly refreshing and empowering. And to reinforce the same ideas that you're having, like, because you're going through it and you're reading the other people going through it, and you're like, man, this really does work. This is amazing.
Yeah, you notice more benefits because they write a kind of a whole thing about it, and then you just start picking off. So for you, so you start feeling free, but you also have to get to know yourself again.
Yeah, you have to,
for sure. What was that like for you?
And that's the part that I really enjoyed, actually, because, like you said, you have to get to know yourself because you're obviously, you are who you are when you're drunk, too. But that's kind of who you really are. So you have to be able to tap into that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you realize, okay, first my realization was that I'm enough. And then my next realization was that I'm actually pretty fun.
Yeah.
Like, I'm pretty fun to be around. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I see why I'm pretty fun to be around. Like, there's value to me, you know, without being, you know, there's just value to me. And I can control it. I don't need to have a drink to get up. I can control it just me being me.
Yeah. Did you feel like you weren't yourself at first, though? Because how long did you identify as, I'm the life of the party who has a few drinks and then I'm the fun guy? Or like, how tough was it?
I don't think it was that tough. But like I said, I think because it was during the pandemic, it made it a little bit easier because I didn't have a lot of options to go out.
You're out all the time with friends and all
right.
that.
Right, so I didn't have a lot of options to go out. And to be honest with you, I'm pretty introverted anyway.
No way.
Yeah. Like, No one can believe that, but I really enjoy being by myself.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. And that's part of the reason why, like, I would have to drink to go out, to be able to get this Superman strength. Like, getting a drink in me was like Superman going into the phone booth. And now that I don't have to do that, I live in my cape.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel so much better about it.
So you were introverted, and so the alcohol helped pull you out.
Yeah.
So that you weren't an introvert, and then everybody knew you as that guy.
Right.
And so now you've, over the last 3 years, come around to being known as that guy. Like, I wouldn't call you an introvert because you don't seem like that, but that's probably because you don't drink now and you just...
Yeah, I can just be me.
More even.
Like you said, that freedom. I have the freedom to be me, like, whenever I want, however I want. And I don't have to take a substance to get anything. And then, and I tell you what, this is one thing I definitely don't miss from drinking, and that is the next day. And that is like just that alone.
That was
is
the biggest. That was one of the biggest things for me. I just go, I don't have a headache ever now.
Yeah, that alone is enough for me because I've had some nightmares of like the next day of just being like, oh my God, what did I do? And then also too is and I said this earlier, and that's it. Nothing good happens when you're drunk. And only bad stuff happens. And I found myself using drinking prior to doing something bad as the reason for me doing something bad. So I would be like, I'm about to do this, so let me get drunk so that I can say I was drunk.
Right.
And like that's and then I realized that's just a scumbag move. And I don't, you know, I don't want to do that. I was like, you know what? I need to be right.
Why, when you were making the transition to it, did you say, I need to stop drinking altogether and be sober instead of I need to just really pull back, but once in a while I can have? Because I think a lot of people fight that battle.
Yeah, and I think that's I think for me it was really because I wanted the freedom. I wanted the flexibility because as a entertainer, personality, we need to be able to get on like that. I can't go, give me 10 minutes, I need to get a drink. You know, I need to be able to get on when you say get on. And I can.
Yeah.
Right? I don't need, you know, if somebody said, going on in 5 minutes, let's go. I don't need anything. You know what I'm saying? So for me, it was like, if I'm going to stop, I need to just stop totally. It's not, I can't give myself an excuse to do it. Because if I have one excuse, then it's going to allow me to have two. And two allows me to have three. Next thing you know, I'm right back where I started. So I needed to just stop altogether.
It is interesting. Some comedians, or not some, but like there's a good handful of comedians that are sober. And you just go, man, you would think that they need that to get into that mode. But most the ones that are very, very good, it's not like they get drunk and go on stage. But a lot of us are like, I could get on stage if I had a few drinks. I'd get up there on an open mic night and I'd probably be pretty good.
Well, you know, it's funny is that I've always done that. Like whenever I've been on stage, I've always had some drinks before I went on stage. And the very first time I remember I went on stage, it was on Looking for a Fight with Dana, and we performed at the Laugh Factory. And I remember being in the back just pounding them to get up there, pounding them to get up there. But then the very last time I went up on stage, I did the show. It was on Fight Pass with Adam Hunter.
Yeah.
And that was the only time I've never drank to go on stage.
How did I feel?
I went on stage and I felt amazing. It was amazing to get up on stage to just go up there sober and perform. I mean, it was extreme. It was empowering as well, too, because it made me feel like I can do anything because I didn't need to drink. I was just like, put my clothes on, let's go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great feeling.
So like that feeling will start spreading into a lot of other aspects of your life as you go sober, because when you think about it scientifically, and this is what I got from reading some of those books, is just like alcohol is a depressant. You feel less feelings, right? Your body is like almost numb to certain things. So when you do special things and you don't surround it with, hey, I'm going to get drunk to celebrate my graduation, I'm going to get drunk because I just got married or whatever, then you're like, you can feel all of the good things way more intensely.
Yeah,
and so if you're
going
to perform on stage, how much of a rush and adrenaline and like, you know, you get some dopamine and some serotonin, all those good brain chemicals, you can feel them more.
And just the awareness too.
Uh-huh.
Like the awareness, like I was aware of everything that was going on. Like I could look out into the audience and see Aljamain Sterling out there. I could look out and see Bilal Muhammad out there. I could see that, like, and I could remember it. And it wasn't like prior where it was like a blur to me.
Yeah.
Where it was just like, I did this thing and now I got to watch back. I don't even remember it. Yeah. So I was so aware and in the moment and mindful of what was going on. And to me, that's a beautiful thing.
How long did it take you to fully be like, this is me, I don't drink now, and this is me, and I'm totally comfortable with it? Because for me, I for so long identified as like, I'm that guy from Boston, I love sports, I love being the guy at the sports bar that's going to drink beer and watch the football games and all that. And so when I stopped doing the drinking part of it, I was just like, I'm not even me, like,
yeah, that's your identity, huh?
Yeah. I had to come totally around and be like, am I okay with this person? Because this is totally not who I grown up to be and always picture myself as. Did that take a long time?
No, it didn't take a long time. And I think that it was, you know, by not drinking, it was very helpful too, because I was obviously, I was going through these, like this transition, like I said before, and I was doing a lot of different things and a lot of self-reflecting. And I think that just came with age. Maybe I was going through like a midlife crisis, mm-hmm. and I'm just like, man, what am I doing myself? And I started bike riding and I started doing like all these other different things. And I changed a lot. Like I started doing more creative projects in terms of art, and it just, everything changed a lot. So it wasn't just not drinking and then realizing that I didn't need that. It was like, it was a total transformation.
It was a life change.
Yeah, it was a life change for me. Like an internal life change for me to be who I am now, as opposed to who I was like 3 years ago. Like I quit my job. Like I was one of the head coaches for American Top Team.
Right.
And during the pandemic, when everybody was tripping about work, I was like, I quit. You know what I'm saying? So it was like, I knew I needed to change, and I changed a lot. I changed a lot.
Wholesale changes.
Yeah, for sure.
Why did you quit American Top Team?
The vibe, you know, like I was being, you know, a lot of people don't get it because they're, when you watch fights from the outside in, all you watch is what happens or what they show you. But on the inside, you know, it's just, it's a hard living. You know, everybody in there is always stressed out, and everybody's always, you know, they're all fighting for the same things. Most people don't, are broke, you know, I mean, and this is, I'm not talking exclusive of UFC, because most fighters don't fight in the UFC.
I was gonna say, yeah.
Yeah. Most fighters are in these small shows, and like being around these guys all the time, it's kind of disheartening. And I didn't want to be around it.
Hmm. You pulled way back on your coaching.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you coach anybody now?
Yeah. I still work with, Jillian Robertson. I still work with Phil Halls. I'm supposed to start, you know, consulting with Sean Brady.
Okay.
A couple people I work with or consult with.
Yeah. You like that better? Like that?
Yeah, for sure.
Approach.
I don't, you know, like I said, it's a lot of stress. People don't understand how much stress it is to take on a coaching role and another fighter, because it's a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
It's entering into a relationship, like a, I don't want to say a love relationship,
it's
but
a serious thing. Yeah,
for sure. It's a relationship, and it's, you know, it's a lot of different ideas going on and a lot of, you know, this and that. And it's hard. And it's just, it's not something that I wanted in my life. Again, part of that change, I wanted a stress-free life. I wanted to take away some negativity and be easy. And like you said, now I'm feeling more.
Mm-hmm.
As a fighter, as a coach, these guys are trained to be immune to feelings. You can't show your emotions in a fight. You can't show that you're hurt. I can now, because like now, you know, I've been through this transformation.
Yeah.
So I got to get out of this environment.
You were probably drinking because you were in that environment too.
Probably.
That
yeah.
Leads to for it, sure. Right?
I think that probably really did have a lot to do with it. Like, you know, in the middle of the day, like, oh, man, I go to work today. This dude got a fight coming up. Now I got to help get him ready and da, 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 da. And, you know, he's tripping. He ain't got no money. Yeah. And next thing I know, and I'm like, oh, let me just get a little drink. Stop by the bar, get a little something.
Yeah. When you look in the rearview mirror, do you think you had more of a problem than you realized at the time?
When I'm looking back, absolutely. Like, just telling you the story now, I'm thinking like, dang, I probably did. Like, I'm in the...
I've had those too. Yeah, like, those too.
I'm at the bar in the afternoon. Like, mm-hmm. that's not cool.
Yeah.
By myself.
Yeah.
No, I'm not like meeting somebody. I was by myself.
Yeah. I had those too. Like when I worked in Boston, I had a stressful job because the bosses that I had and the schedule that I had and stuff. And I remember on one of my days off, they used to always call me to go in on my day off. It was like, oh, I could never, I was just constantly on call, you know, and I'm covering sports. So it's just like, it's not this stress negative thing. I'm covering the Red Sox and the Celtics, mm-hmm. right? And the Boston teams. But I remember on a day off one time, and I was just like, I'm going to go play 9 holes, right? I'm going to go golf. And I was just like, I'm going to drink because if they call me, I'm going to be like, sorry, I can't make it in today. Because I'm going to be like, I'm going to be on the 3rd hole, and I'm going to be 3 or 4 beers in, and I'm just be like, sorry, can't.
Could you imagine? Oh, I see that.
And I was just like, as long as it's past 11 a.m. and it's my day off,
yeah,
they can't ask any questions.
That,
you know?
See, that would freak me out.
And like, I didn't think that was a problem at all. Now I think back on it, I'm just like, gosh, that's like going next level. You know, that's like making it okay.
Yeah.
That's like using all these reasons. No, it's okay because of this.
Right. Yeah, it's like, exactly. You know, like you're making excuses.
Yeah,
you're trying to justify
it
with
a lot earlier.
a lame excuse. But I think that we had a similar journey because, you know, I watch your stuff, you know, I pay attention mm-hmm. and I see that you taught yourself how to play the piano. And
yeah,
so,
yeah.
So, like, and those were the type of things that I was doing.
Yes.
Over the, you know, during this transition. Like, I'm, you know, I taught myself how to make candles and Yeah, I make candles. I've made customized candles for a lot of people. I do the artwork on it and I make a little candle for everybody.
Yeah.
So I taught myself how to do all of this like creative stuff during this process, and it's so healing.
Yes.
And it feels good. Like I've always wanted to learn how to play the piano, and the fact that you did and you taught yourself, I'm like, I'm so jealous.
I started in the summer of 2020.
Did you really? Yeah. And I love it. I love that you did that because I'm so jealous. I've always wanted to learn how to play.
I'll get some recommendations. I'll let you know. We'll get you down that path.
Yeah.
It's so fun. It's not as tough as people think. There's really? 88 keys, and it's this, you know, but once you figure out the equation of like what they mean,
mm-hmm.
it's really not tough. And then like, one of the greatest things that I can do now is like the fact that I can sit down on the piano and just like, and I'm no master, but I can play chord. You know, you could play something that sounds really nice and it's not that
It's not
tough.
That difficult.
Yeah,
huh?
It's not. I mean, for me anyways, some people are just like, you know, and I hate when people just go, I'm not musical. I could never. And it's just like, well, if you think that way, you can.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
if,
I know.
If you sit down and you're like, I want to do this, you will do it.
Yeah, I definitely want to. I was going to take lessons one time. I had this, this gay guy wanted to give me lessons. Mm-hmm. And I was like, all right, cool. Come. And I had my school at the time. I was like, come to my school. And he refused to come to my school and give me lessons. He wanted to come to my house. And I was like, that's kind of weird. I was like, come to my school. And he was like, no. I was like, well, then I guess we're not going to do this.
Nah.
And then I never pursued it after that.
Yeah. Apps.
Yeah.
Apps and online lessons are huge now.
Like, for sure.
I don't have, you know.
Like, you can do everything online now. So
exactly.
I got to learn how to play the piano.
What would you say is, like, if somebody's watching this and they're, like, fighting that battle of, like, I should stop drinking, I should drink less, I should go sober, but it's really tough. What's the advice that you'd give?
You know, I really think that the advice is, that one, my first thing is stop. You know, like, if you're having doubts about drinking, stop. You know, like,
It shouldn't be a debate.
Yeah, it shouldn't be a debate. Either you like it. But if you're like, I should stop, and you know it's bad for you, then you should stop. Like, it's not a debate. If you like it, you know, my boy RJ, he loved to drink. I'm never going to tell him to stop. I'm like, hey, man, go out, have a good time.
Yeah.
But, like, if you're debating and you feel like you could be a better person without it, I'm telling you right now, stop. But if you're going to stop, you have to develop or increase your network of people around you that are supportive of that. And I think that is the biggest thing. I think that the people around you are always the biggest thing in terms of your decisions that you make and the progress that you can make with the decisions.
Yeah. That's huge.
Yeah. So
environment's huge.
And 100%, because if you are trying to stop drinking it, but you're still hanging out with the same crew, it's never going to work.
Yeah.
Like, you have to really change your whole crew, change your outlook. You had to change a lot.
Yeah. Not to scare people off too, because what I would say is, like, maybe you spend less time with your drinking friends or whatever. Go change, right? Make your change. You can come back if you want to keep those friendships. And
yeah,
obviously,
yeah, yeah.
Honestly, those friendships will either be strengthened or you'll find that you weren't actually. I heard this phrase one time. It was like, when I was younger, I used to think I had good friends. I didn't have good friends. I had drinking buddies.
Yeah.
Because that's all we did together.
Right, right, right.
And then you grow and then you like make this change and it's just like, okay, it turns out we're like, I don't know, we go to the bar at the same time, but we're not actually friends, but your friendships will grow stronger, the people that are supportive of it.
Yeah, for sure. That's what, like, if somebody's having a question of whether to drink or not, you need to stop, but then you're going to have to find people. But like I said, but it's a lot of people out there. A lot of people are sober, have gotten sober, and they'll be willing to help you because they know how it is.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you have this connection. That's why, like, if they call me up, you know what I'm saying? If you want to stop drinking, call me up. I'll be your friend, you know, because I know how it is.
And the other thing, or like one of the other things is, like, sober is like a negative word to a lot of people. Or just like if you tell me, oh, I'm sober, a lot of people would jump to the conclusion of just like, you must have been really messed up.
Yeah.
You must have been face down in an alley.
Yeah.
Maybe arrested. You know, all these problems, when in actuality, like, that's why for me it felt weird to say, like, I don't drink to people, or just like, I don't drink, categorically don't drink, I'm sober, whatever, because I'd be like, they're just gonna assume like I had this issue and I was like on a bad path and you know, not a good husband, not a good father, when it's just like, no, like, I feel like I was pretty good. I'm better now, but, you know.
Now, I get 100, and sometimes I do feel weird about saying, like you said, sober, because in my head, I didn't feel like I had that bad of a problem.
That's what I mean.
Right, and sometimes when I say it, you're right, like, I feel like people are, or I may be giving off that vibe that I was in that way. Mm-hmm. Now, my father was a really bad alcoholic, so I know what that looks like. And maybe that's what I'm comparing my journey to his, because mine wasn't as bad as his, because he was really bad.
Yeah.
And mine wasn't that bad. So maybe when I say I wasn't that bad, it's a comparison to him.
Yeah.
But maybe, I don't know, maybe mine was bad enough, you know?
Yeah. I mean, like, I don't know. It's like, there's no right or there's no like, oh, you were a bad one and you weren't. Like, it's all on a spectrum. Did you go to meetings or anything like that?
No, I never went. Yeah, I never went to meetings. Yeah. I just stopped cold turkey.
Yeah.
Just cold turkey, and then just
so when it comes to discipline, because you said earlier to start, like, when you're around other people, you know what kind of discipline it takes. But like, for you, does it take discipline? Because when people say, oh, you're really disciplined, I just go, I would be disciplined if I really wanted to reach for that beer. And I'm like, no, I don't drink. But I don't.
Right.
I'm on the other side where I don't really care to. It's not, I don't feel like I'm missing out on something because I'm not having an old fashioned.
Yeah, you're right. But,
I mean, or a beer. So to me, it's not discipline.
Right.
To me, it's discipline when I say, I do not want those tortilla chips because I'm trying to drop a few pounds, because I will always want to reach for the chips.
Or like, I don't feel like running this morning, but I got to get up and do it anyway. Discipline. That's discipline, right? You're right. So you're right. I guess it doesn't take discipline
not
when you want
you,
to do
but
it.
But for other people, it does. Yeah, it's very important. Yeah, you know, me, it's not to make not light of it too, you know?
Yeah, that's interesting. I never really thought of it that way, but you're right about that. It does. It's not discipline for us because we don't care.
So this episode's going to come out on St. Patrick's Day, right? Ooh. Big drinking holiday. Were you was St. Patrick's Day big? Like, you were from Delaware and then you were down in Florida. You know, Florida. Is like St. Patrick's Day a big thing?
I couldn't remember one St. Patrick's Day in Delaware. I was young
right, of course,
up there.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
But
like, as an adult in Florida, right? Black guy in St. Patrick's Day, not to make it a race thing.
No, listen, I'm Black Irish.
different, you know, I'm a Fitzgerald from Massachusetts, where Boston and green beer and all that stuff, right? So that was, you know, when I'm kind of becoming this version of myself, I'm just like, gosh, I'm not going to drink. I'm a Fitzgerald from the Boston area on St. Patrick's Day. And I'm just
like, what a disgrace.
Nah. Yeah, right, right, right. But for you, like, you're going to be in Boston on St. Patrick's Day with Dana White and Matt Sarah, and there's certainly going to be some good times going around. What is it like for you to be in that environment now?
Well, the one thing I will say is this, is that when you tell people that you're sober and you don't drink, people are pretty respectful of that. It's a lot different than drinking, because when you drink and you say, nah, I'm not drinking today, you can't get it. They're like, oh, you get this on you.
You bleep.
You know, right. And they force you to. But when you say, nah, I'm sober, I don't drink, people are very respectful of that.
Yeah.
And I'm cool with that. So, but I think maybe the hardest thing for me was learning how to deal with drunk people when you're sober.
Because I haven't dealt with that much.
You haven't? That's
well, because I have I have two kids, and my wife just kind of, I mean, she doesn't drink anymore at all. She hasn't. It wasn't even a thing for her. She's just like, I don't want to drink anymore. I got to breastfeed. And then she just kind of fell out of love with it and didn't miss those times. But for the most part, like, we don't go out a lot. Like, we're just, you know, once in a while we'll go out to dinner. But I'm not around a lot of people that are drinking a lot. You are.
Sometimes. And
well, you're on the road a lot.
Yeah. And I can be on the
I'm
road
not
a lot.
Anymore. All these shows at the Apex.
Yeah. You know? and sometimes I'm around people that drink a lot. And my tolerance for dealing with it has risen for sure. Mm. Because I remember there was a time, like, if I was still drinking and couldn't drink and there were drunk people around, it doesn't work, man. I'm like, oh.
You're annoyed.
You're annoyed.
Not because you want one. You're just
right.
like.
He's like, man, these people.
I'm out.
But now you learn to be entertained by it. And I guess, you know, now that we, you know, take our phones out and we can film people doing dumb stuff, and now I got blackmail. Yeah, so
you just got a whole folder on your phone,
yes,
just storing it up.
But yeah, that was kind of a hard process to deal with, of dealing with people that are drunk when you're
good
drinking.
Now though.
Yeah, I'm good now. Like,
because St. Patrick's Day weekend in Boston, you're gonna need it, bro.
I don't mind it. The only thing I have to, you know, keep my head on a swivel is, you know, people like tough guys, they want to be extra tough,
right?
So I gotta make sure that I'm aware.
Yeah,
you know, I don't want to get, you know, snuck up on.
Yeah,
when these knuckleheads run up on me, I got something for them.
Yeah. You ever feel like you want to hold back from being like condescending, like, nah, I don't drink, you know, That's another thing for me sometimes. Like when you're making positive changes, I don't want to be the guy who's just like, I'll tell you this right now. Like I eat a plant-based diet for the most, like 98% of the time. And then, and I don't drink. I'm like, who the hell is this guy? Because the 6 years ago version of myself would make fun of me a bunch. I'd be like, who is this loser? Get out of here. So I'm like I'm in my head about that sometimes where I'm just like, I'm that guy. Sorry.
I never thought about that, but you're bringing up these, you know, these thoughts in my head. I'm having these light bulb moments right now of thinking, you're right. When sometimes you say I don't drink, you feel a little bougie, yeah. Right? I don't drink. I'm better than you. Like, yeah, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
And that's certainly not the case. Like I said, if you drink and you thoroughly enjoy it, and it's, you know, you feel like it makes you happy, by all means,
yeah.
I will buy you a bottle. You know what I'm saying? Like I have, like most of my friends drink, and I buy them drinks sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, so there was a time where I didn't. Like it took me a while before I was able to do that. But now I'm like, listen, that's your thing. You drink, go ahead, have a good time.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess you're right. Sometimes you can feel like, oh, I'm better than you. Yeah. What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Anything else, Dean? What else?
What else?
Any other pointers on going sober to anybody out there? If anybody out there is sober, keep going with it. Thumbs up. If you're not, enjoy yourself.
Yeah, enjoy yourself. That's the way it is. Right. You know, like if
be safe, yeah, enjoy yourself.
Just be safe. Don't hurt nobody.
Don't like make fun of me and Dean.
Yeah,
we're just living our lives.
I'm just living my. I'm just trying to do my thing. You know what I'm saying? I'm just trying to be me. But I think, you know, I really appreciate this conversation. You've made me think about a lot. You've opened up my mind to a lot of different things I have never thought about.
Yeah,
and that's why I like having conversations. And we couldn't have this conversation if we were drunk. So
it would sound a lot different.
Yeah.
Gosh, I'm trying to think if I had any other things I wanted to clear up or any other things that I wanted to shed light on it. I think I'm good. But here's the fun part, Dean. We're off and running with one episode with Dean Thomas on Fitz Nation. You let me know if you ever want me on Lover and a Fighter.
Of course.
Right? Part of the Fight Pass Podcast Central Galaxy of Stars.
Yes.
We're both in the Galaxy of
yes,
Stars.
Yes, we are.
So anytime, but check out Dean and Josh on that show. What other stuff you got coming up? You got a lot going on.
I got a Dean's Got Answers. I'm going to get
Dean's
you on
Got Answers.
Dean's
Where is
got
that?
Answers. That is on YouTube, but the UFC, I don't know how it works. UFC just, I film it right here in this room.
Oh, it's with you. It's
yes.
With the UFC.
Yes.
Good.
Yeah, so right. It's with the UFC. I have that. And then, I'm always around. I'm working this weekend.
Yeah.
You know, doing the Insight Coaches.
You're
analysts.
Great at that.
Yeah. And I'm working. And I'm doing the post show, too.
Exactly. I'll be with you on the post show.
Are
this,
you?
This will be out next week. We'll have done the post show in the rearview mirror.
But
it's
going to
be
weird.
Fun,
I'm not doing the pre-show, but I'm on the post show.
Well, the pre-show they tape because of all that's going on this week.
Oh.
Power slap. There's a lot going on. So Bisping and Helly taped the pre-show on, like, Wednesday.
No kidding.
I think, yeah. I mean, I don't know if I'm inside baseball. Like,
yeah.
I'm pulling the curtain back for everybody. But there was a lot of moving parts with production because they were doing John Jones pay-per-view, Power Slap, and Jan Dwalishvili show at Virgin Hotels in Las Vegas. Pay-per-view in London coming up. Very busy time for the UFC.
Man, and I love it, man, because that means we're working.
That's right.
I love it. Oh, my God. Thank you for allowing us to work.
And you got Dana White looking for a fight. Dana White will come out soon. But you'll be taping
it next week. Yeah, we're taping that next week. So if you are in Boston, come check us out. And I'm doing a seminar at Mark Delagrati's spot in Boston on that Friday night.
Yeah.
Man, I'm enjoying life, man. I'm living my dream.
I appreciate your honesty, Dean. Thanks for coming.
My man.
Appreciate it, man. Dean Thomas, everybody. Thanks for watching Fitz Nation on the UFC Fight Pass YouTube channel. You know, my bosses would love it if you hit that UFC Fight Pass logo and subscribe to the channel. Thanks, and I'll see you next time.